Well, hey friends, welcome to my daily teaching video. Oh, we're going to have some fun today. I encourage you to get a Bible, a notepad, a pen, a great cup of coffee, although I'm drinking tea, Irish tea today. And hey, in a moment, I want to jump into new series. I have a brand new book that is out today. It is called Alive, and it is all about the resurrection life of Jesus. I really encourage you to get a copy of this. You can get a copy as a Kindle or a Dead Tree, I like to say, paperback on Amazon, link below. And in this book, I talk all about, I think we haven't understood, the half has never yet been told when it comes to the resurrection life of Jesus. You know, we'll often quote John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. And yet, I sometimes think we think of that in terms of eternal life, living forever, going to heaven. We put terms like this upon it. And yet it means so much more than that. It means more than having a lifestyle change or living a different kind of life. Life is literally the energy, the life of God. In him was life. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. In him was life. And Jesus died at the cross. Just, I know we know that, but think about it through, that we might have life. I like to say Jesus didn't come to turn bad people into good people. Jesus came to turn dead people into alive people. Hallelujah. We're going to be exploring that. I really do encourage you to grab a copy of this book, which will help you. And depending on what time you're watching this as well, why not get a few copies for your friends for Christmas as well. Let me do a few quick announcements as well. Hey, I'm going to be putting out my own personal teaching notes. So I have a whole series of notes that go, let me grab my notes, with this video. If you're interested in having my own personal sermon notes, preachers, take them, preach them. You'd be very welcome to them. There'll be an email link below and you can grab those then. Next, let me just mention as well, probably today, if you're watching this on Monday, December the 1st, my wife Leah and I right now are traveling to Israel. We're flying overnight from Newark, New Jersey to Tel Aviv and on to Jerusalem. And we've been invited with a group of pastors to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and talk about the church and Israel. So it's a really historic meeting. We'll be with a group of pastors and influencers, and we get to visit the Knesset, the Israeli government, and meet the Prime Minister. So first time for me ever in Israel, and I've always wanted to go, but I've wanted the timing of God. I'm not into tourism, taking a bus tour and seeing the sights and all that. I want to go for a reason. I want to be sent, not went. So appreciate your prayers, and probably like literally right now, today anyway, Monday, December 1st, we are flying to Israel. So keep that piece in your prayers as well. Hey, two last things, practical things as well. I am in the process of revamping my email communication system, and we actually want to get rid of a lot of older emails that sometimes people change emails or move on or whatever. So I'd really appreciate it if you could sign up afresh and anew on my website, gjm.org, especially if you're not receiving our email newsletter. You know, I am on all social media platforms that most of us are these days, and yet you're always at the mercy of Meta, of Google, of TikTok, or whatever, YouTube. And while those platforms are good, email is probably the best communication method of doing that. So I'd really appreciate it if you'll sign up again, link below. I think we even give a free gift, 3-hour teaching in the secret place to everybody who signs up for those. And lastly, I want to say again, a big thanks to the partners of Graham Jones Ministries. Partners are those who join with us in ministry, who pray for us and support us. So if you're not yet a partner, link below. Why not consider becoming one? Good. So let's talk about life. The Zoe life of God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And really what I'd like to do in this very first session is actually just expand our thinking, expand the boundaries, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes in terms of what we actually mean by the life of God. Again, I think we've often traditionally as evangelicals understood the term eternal life to be life that goes on eternally. Life without end, when we've been there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun. And I have no problem with that. I agree 100% with everything I have said, or those who would use that terminology to express the sentiment of life that does not end, that expands and goes on. Amen. And yet, I think that's actually only really about 5% of what the life of God actually means. In one sense, it's a little bit fallacious, because sometimes people say, if you put your faith in Jesus, you will have eternal life. Well, everybody has eternal life. Everybody is going to live eternally in one of two places. I mean, at a very real level, and I don't want to get into the doctrine of hell here, but the bottom line is everybody gets what they actually want. People who desire to be with God, to surrender the lordship of their life to Him, get to be with Him because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. People who don't, people who choose to be their own God, people who reject God, people who choose to spend eternity away from God, will actually get that wish, which is called hell. Hell is to be without God. But my point in saying all of these things to you is really this: there's so much more involved in the life of God. You know, it's a really tough one. And who is the guy? There's a Jewish born-again believer called Dr. James Tour, who is one of the world's leading experts on the origin of life studies. You know, it's really interesting. People who teach on evolution, you know, neo-Darwinism, people like Richard Dawkins, whatever, and of course they all believe in evolution, but if you just keep pulling on the thread, how far back can you actually go with that? The problem all of those people actually have is if you keep going backwards and backwards, okay, we evolved from something else and that evolved from something else, and you know, and they'll then talk about like simple cells and tiny little bacterial structures. But if you keep going back, there has to be some origin of life. There has to be somewhere something started. And the problem, and again, it's not my area of expertise, but I'd encourage you to listen to James talk, because no atheist can get anywhere near him in terms of his knowledge about this. And he sort of exposes the lie of it, because the idea, you know, I think maybe even 50 years ago, we sort of thought of life as something very simple and very, you know, easy. Maybe there's a kind of primordial slime or whatever, and maybe lightning struck it and the right chemicals happened to meet in the right, you know, cocktail, and bang, there you go, life is created. And the more we've learned, the more that microbiology is revealed, the more several conclusions are true, that life is incredibly complicated. You know, sometimes I will go to New York City, near Bryant Park, you have the New York Library. What if I told you that what if I told you there was a whole load of trees somewhere, and then lightning hit these trees, and out of lightning it formed every single book contained in the New York Library? I mean, every single one, perfectly, with not one word, not one punctuation point out of place. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of books, all perfectly ordered. Oh, with all of the covers and the barcodes and boogity, you know, the publishing house, bam. Nobody would believe that. You know, we can posit the idea that, well, if we spend long enough time, anything can happen. No, it can't. The math doesn't math. And life, even what we call single cell, simple life, is incredibly complicated. And it can't evolve in that way. But my actual point to you is an even more basic one. What is life? It's actually a really hard question to answer. We all know the signs of life. We can, you know, a doctor in any hospital will have criteria by which they declare that somebody is no longer alive, that they're dead, and, you know, pulse and brain rate and different kind of vital signs of life. But what is life? What makes something alive? And all life comes from God. When God created Adam and Eve, it's interesting, when God created all of creation, if you will, everything, the dog, the cat, the tortoise, trees, plants, birds, fish, everything, he made them alive. He actually created them from the very environment they would need to sustain their life. He brought the fish out of the sea. He brought the trees, the plants, out of the ground. But when God made man, he did something very different. He took of the clay of the earth and he formed this perfect, I'm sure because God made him, this beautiful man. And yet the man was dead. And the Bible says God bent down and breathed through his nostrils the roha, the breath of God. Literally, like the word soul literally comes from the Hebrew word breath, the roha of God. God breathed into man and man became a living being. Man was alive. Now the dog and the cat and the tortoise and the fish were alive, but man was alive in a way that nothing else was alive. He had a life. He was created in God's image. He was created in God's likeness. He was created by God, for God, from God, and to live in fellowship with God. And then the Lord said to Adam, of course, Adam and Eve, the day you sin, the day you become your own God, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. God placed two trees in the garden. We're going to speak about this in a future lesson. I want you to catch this. The choice placed before Adam and Eve was not, repeat, not good or bad. God didn't set the choice between them. You can go the good road or the bad road. The choice between man for mankind was between the knowledge of good and evil and life. There was the tree of the knowledge of good or evil and the tree of life. And really, all religion comes down to the choice between good and evil. Every religion, including atheistic, secular, New York City, philosophical, woke, cool religion, basically has a set of precepts, a set of values, and said, if you'll do this, you'll be a good person. If you do this, you're a bad person. Now, different religions have different rules. It's interesting, every religion, including, you know, secular Americanism, humanism, European humanism has blasphemy laws. If you think it's only countries like Pakistan that have blasphemy laws, right now in the United Kingdom where I was born, you can be put in jail for saying certain things on social media. Sila and get your house in order, my lovely compatriots. My point to you is this, the choice isn't between good and evil. It's really between the knowledge of good and evil and life. And the day that Adam and Eve sinned, they died. Now, man was primarily a spiritual being. You know, he had a body, he had a soul. Man's body lived another 900 odd years. Adam's body did. Adam had a soul for the rest of those that time, and obviously into eternity. But spiritually, all the way through the Old Covenant, we're dealing with people who are spiritually dead. They can't communicate with God. The part of them that comes alive, that can know God, is dead. And in Christ, we are made alive. So Jesus came to give us life, to give us his life, to reconnect us with God. And literally, Jesus gave up Zoe, gave up eternal heaven's life. God, a part of God, died on the cross of Calvary and then was raised in newness of life 3 days later. Let me tell you a quick story and I'll end with this. But I love the story of John G. Lake, one of my heroes. He was a missionary in South Africa at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century, the 1900s. And there was a time in South Africa where there was a village that was wiped out because of cholera, the disease. Now, if you know about cholera, literally people like die of thirst. It's a horrible disease, very contagious. And there'd been a whole village wiped out, bodies everywhere. And a group of medical professionals and some missionaries and church clergy got together and said, we're going to go in and we're going to bury all of the dead bodies to stop the spread of this contagious disease. And Lake offered to help them. Now, Lake went into this town, but everybody else were elected to wear masks and hats and gowns and gloves and goggles and all this protective gear. PPE, as we've learned to call it in the last 5 years. But Lake refused to wear these things. Lake said, I don't need those things. I'm not going to catch this. And of course, all the medical people were really concerned for Pastor Lake. You know, why, you know, you need to protect yourself. And in the end, Lake, to prove his point, said, look, let's do an experiment. And he took some of the saliva from the mouth of a dead person, put it under a microscope. And when the doctors looked, it was teeming with life, you know, microbes, whatever, moving about. And then Lake said, watch what happens when my hand touches that saliva. And he said, when his hand touched it, the doctor saw all of the microbes die like that. And they came to Lake and they said, how did you do that? And Lake said, it's easy. And he quoted a Bible verse, Romans 8:2, the law of the spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin, sickness, poverty, disease, demons, fear of death. He said, God's life in me is greater than the death which is at work in that person there. And I want to encourage you, you have life right now. In him was life. Jesus has been risen and he stands in the fullness of the life of God. But so do you. Now, you have that life in your spirit, man, but God wants that life to flow into your very soul, to overflow into your body, and then even the circumstances, like with Dr. Lake, around them. And again, in this series, we're going to explore theologically how that works, and then practically how to step into those realities. Again, really encourage you to grab a copy of this book. I know it will bless you. And I send out my sermon notes as well. Sign up on our email, sign up below if you're interested in getting those. Guys, thank you for making it thus far. Drop me a comment. Love to hear from you. Encourage you to become one of our million subscribers. And do pray for us during this week in Israel. Thank you for watching. Bye for now.